In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So today's message from Jesus to us is this. Do not fear, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is God's deepest desire that we be partakers in paradise. This is the message for today. It is the message for the Nativity and the whole point of this Advent season. It is the message for life, that it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, people sometimes are afraid of God. People sometimes teach other people to be afraid of God. People sometimes use God to manipulate other people to be afraid. But Jesus sets us all on the holy and light-filled path by saying, do not fear, little flock. And you can feel the affection even in those words. Do not fear, little flock. There's a coziness to it, an affection to it. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The default position is that God's pleasure is to give you the kingdom of heaven. It is a gift and a promise. Now, it's interesting, when John the Baptist was first preaching of the coming of Jesus, when John told the people that Jesus would baptize them with the Holy Spirit and raise the children of Abraham, they all asked, what should we do? What should we do? It's a natural question to ask when someone is gracious to you. It's like when someone invites you to dinner, you ask, what can we bring? When God offers the kingdom of heaven, the loving response is, what can I do? And so Jesus tells a little parable to answer the question, what can I do? A master had gone away to a wedding, and it had gotten quite late. And Jesus says a faithful servant would do what? Raid the master's liquor cabinet? Fight amongst themselves? Go off to sleep? Of course not. A faithful servant would stay awake and attentive and productive until the master's return, even if it's at 2 a.m., even if it's at 4 a.m. Jesus says the faithful servant would be found, he says, with their waist girded. In other words, their tool belt is on. And they would be found with their lamps burning. And of course, the meaning of this parable is precisely what we do in this life as we await the kingdom to come. Our waist girded. Let's look at that first. The tool belt on. What does that mean in this context? Well, it means doing the work of God. It means doing work worthy of the kingdom of heaven. And the tools in that tool belt are numerous. And they're all gifts of God. Faithfulness and patience and joy at what we're doing and kindness in the way we do it and hope for the master's return and gentleness, that spirit that permeates our work. And of course, above all, love. And the work can be anything that crosses your path in a specific sense in any given hour. The specific work is going to be different for each and every person. And in fact, it could even be different for the same person each and every day, each and every hour even. It might change week by week, the specifics. But living virtuously in how we do that is what Jesus means by a waist girded, the tool belt on. That is the work of the kingdom of heaven. And next, we get the command to have our lamps burning. And this gets a little bit interesting. Stephen just read for us from Ephesians, walk as children of the light. And in this parable, Jesus says, have your lamps burning. The lamp is the light of Christ. The lamp is divine wisdom. Having your lamp on means to discern what path your work might take and how it might be done in the glory of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes a person wants to do good, right? Lots of people want to do good, but doesn't know where to start or how to proceed. Enter the light of Christ. The lamp burning is the wisdom to see what course to follow for you. St. Theophylact notes on this parable, he says, many people have set about to do good, to do the work of the kingdom, but they do it aimlessly. They rush in. They gird their waist for action, but don't stop to light their lamps. In other words, they don't discern what Jesus wants them to do. says Theophylact. Michelle and I were in Florida a couple of years ago, walking along the beach one morning at low tide. And at low tide there on the Gulf Coast, you could see thousands of sand dollars exposed, alive and crawling through the wet sand, you know, seeking out their little destinies, whatever sand dollars do. And as we walk, we approached a woman with a bucket and a scoop collecting live sand dollars, which, by the way, is unethical and illegal, not to mention destructive and cruel. These are living creatures in their own natural habitat that need their proper environment. And as we got closer to this woman, we saw someone confronting her, asking her, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And she responded, saying she had her unit's bathtub filled with water and was saving these sand dollars from suffering during low tide because it looked like they were trying to get back into the water. And she also said that she brings them back at high tide. She puts them in a bucket full of water, brings them to her tub, soaks them there till high tide, brings them back. And she's been doing that the whole week of her vacation, saving the sand dollars. And as these two people argued, we just kind of moved on. But it's a perfect example of having your waist girded, but your lamps not lit. Of having your lamps not lit. This woman meant well. I'm sure she meant well. She was intending to be loving and kind and compassionate towards these sand dollars. She had her tools. She had her bucket and her scoop and her bathtub. But what she lacked was the light of wisdom. She didn't have her lamp burning. In spite of her motives, what she was doing was not only not helpful, it was actually causing harm. And we can see this in spiritual things too. A person loves God and wants to do virtuous work. And they rush in with, I'm going to save the world, or I'm going to fix the church, or I'm going to end starvation, or, I'm going to evangelize everyone at work or at school or in my entire city. But then neglect to light the lamp and stop and ask, what life does God want me to live? Maybe God does want you to do that. But we need to go in with a light of wisdom to know. And then probably equally importantly, how does God want me to live that life? And now with Jesus's parable, the opposite can also happen too. A person gets so enmeshed in the discernment process that they're paralyzed from taking action. Until God speaks to me clearly, I can't act. That's why in the parable, Jesus mentions both. In answer to the question, what can we do? The answer is both gird your waist, which is action, and light your lamps, which is wisdom. Remember, this parable began with Jesus saying how much God wants to give you the kingdom. So I'd like to end this morning with how Jesus ends the parable. He says, when the master does return from the wedding, in the wee hours of the morning, something remarkable happens. Jesus says, when the master gets home, the master will put on an apron and invite all the faithful servants to find a comfortable seat, and the master will serve them. Total role reversal. You would have never seen that in antiquity. A master, a householder, an emperor, a governor coming home and telling his servants, okay, you sit down, I'm going to serve you now. The Lord comes not to be served, but to serve. And in the Lord's house, when the master returns, you who accept the invitation become the guest of honor. Little flock, it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen.